The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Live to die, die to live, life is what is, don't have much, so my all I won't give, I'm stingy, everything I keep for my own, I pack my flesh so tight that my soul had a bone. I'm a small child, playing in a man's world, I'm the light behind the storm when the clouds unfurl, watching the twirl, Mother Earth going for broke, she's moving too fast to help
me. Good morning, good afternoon, welcome to Shifting Paradigm. I am Sister Zion, and thank you for joining us. This morning, we're just going to do an update on Flint, Michigan. I actually have a guest who's already on the line, a resident of Flint, just to give us some insight as to what it is that she's had to go through in terms of this entire water crisis. Her name is Promise. I'm just going to give her first name. Her name is Promise. And Promise has been in touch with me by way of the Flint Relocation Project. As you may know, or may not know, one of my first shows, I believe it was the second or third program, we actually covered Flint. And Scotty and I had a discussion as to viable ways that we could really help the people of Flint, because filters were not enough, not just the fact that filters were not enough, but there were a lot of other things that were just not common sense. For instance, you can't take a bath in bottled water. You can, but that's kind of arduous. It's not practical. You can't cook. I mean, you can, but once again, it can become arduous and not practical. Just a whole host of things that bottled water and filters were not able to cover. So the most logical thing to do then we thought was to get people, evacuate Flint, get people out of there, especially those that want to leave. As you know, as I went on, after establishing the Flint Relocation Project, I discovered that there were actually some people who wanted to stick it out there, and they were actually offended at the thought of anybody wanting to leave. However, those people actually said that their lead levels were not that high. The people that were calling me that wanted to leave, the information that they were giving me was that their lead levels were off the charts. Not just the lead levels, but there were also other toxins that were affecting their health and the health of people in their households. And that was profound, because of the situation was not deemed as a natural disaster by FEMA. FEMA did not find that it was necessary for them to evacuate Flint. So we have people in Flint who have a desire to leave, but for whatever reason, they are not able to. And I just want to be very careful as well, because I did meet some opposition from some local Flint residents who, like I said, who were offended at the prospect of people wanting to leave as a result of this. and some people have actually faced backlash. Before I bring Thomas on the air, and I appreciate her taking out her time to come and share her experience with this entire situation with us, we're gonna just get into a little background with regard to what's been going on in Flint lately, and a lot of it is kind of startling. There have been, I believe, 3 indictments or charges that were brought against 3 people dealing with this issue, and this has all happened over the course of a week of the past week. But also with regard to that, there have also been 2 people who have ended up, you know, deceased as a result of this. The first their bodies were found the same day. Matthew McFarland, who was a water treatment plant foreman, he was being brought into question, with regard to things that he might have known with regarding the contamination of the water. Then there was Sasha Ivana Bell, who is a 19-year-old mother of a 16-month-old child, and she filed a lawsuit. She was one of the first to file a lawsuit against the state of Michigan on behalf of her son, her 16-month-old son, who has been adversely affected by the lead poisoning. And as a matter of fact, she actually was not the only one to lose her life. Her body was found along with the body of another young woman by the name of Sequoria Reed. They were both found in Ms. Bell's apartment. The baby wasn't harmed, but Ms. Bell and Ms. Reed have lost their lives under rather dubious circumstances, especially given the fact that Ms. Bell was among the first to file a lawsuit on behalf of her son because of the adverse effects of the lead and other toxins in the water. This is very frustrating and it's gut-wrenching, but I just need our people to pay close attention, because this can be anybody's town. This can be anybody's situation. And just because it's not you right now doesn't mean that somewhere along the line that it will not be. And this is where it's going to really take us to get ourselves together and really come together as a community, behave as a community, so that we can bless the least of our people. I mean, not least in the terms of stature, but they're struggling right now and they have no one. And I've had so many people from Flint tell me that they really don't believe that anybody cares about their situation, because everybody's throwing bottled water and filters at them. And even much of the bottled water is coming up with very high levels of lead. So that's really not that's not a resolution. That doesn't resolve this issue. What's going to resolve this issue is basically, first of all, fixing the infrastructure in Flint. But that could take years. So while they're fixing the infrastructure, what then happens to the residents of Flint? Do they stay there and continue to be contaminated? Not so. Those who want to leave, I believe that we should bless them in whatever way that we can to help them leave. This is Shifting Paradigms. My name is Sister Zion. We're going to go into some audio with regard to the latest on Flint, and then we'll be right back to bring on our guest, Ms. Promise from Flint, Michigan. The number here is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549-032. And if you would like to make a comment or ask a question, hit *6 and 1. We'll be right back in just a moment. Mm-hmm.
The body of Sasha Bell was discovered Tuesday night at Ridgecrest Village Townhouses in Flint. An infant was found uninjured in the apartment, but it's not clear if that was Bell's son. Bell was a 19-year-old mother and the first to file lawsuits on behalf of the thousands of children poisoned by the water in Flint. Cops have not made any arrests or determined the motive. Sasha Bell's lawsuit alleges that her 16-month-old son suffers from lead poisoning because of corporate and government misconduct. She just wanted what was best for her son. New York-based lawyer Corey Stern told the Daily News Friday she loved her son. Stern said that Bell's lawsuit will go on despite her death. Stern says he's representing approximately 1,000 Flint children and emphasized their individual cases. A GoFundMe page has been set up to raise money for funeral costs.
With us here in the studio is Rachel Maddow, and after giving credit to the local activists who broke and stayed on this story, Rachel deserves a lot of the credit for putting this front and center in front of a national television audience. Now it's become a stop on the presidential campaign. Now it's a cause, and as I mentioned beforehand, it has caused other cities to embark on testing, and that will be perversely a good thing that comes out of this. First of all, what should we know about this Attorney General, Mr. Schuette?
I do think it's helpful to get a little bit of context on him and his role in the overall politics of Michigan, in addition to just this case. Bill Schuette is somebody who's had a lot of different high-ranking public service jobs, including being in Congress, including two terms now as Attorney General. He is widely believed to be angling to be the next Republican governor of the state of Michigan. The criminal justice system and our political system should be separate things, and ideally those are totally separate lanes. It is hard to see those two things as isolated from one another in this case. Obviously, Flint is the one thing that most people outside Michigan know about Michigan right now. And so for him to put himself front and center this way, as the person who says he's going to get justice for Flint, has political consequences for him. And I don't mean to be cynical to point that out. I just think we have to be realistic in noticing that. And so, you know, I have a lot of mixed feelings and strong feelings watching this. On the one hand, accountability is good. On the other hand, watching Tony DeCoppel talking with Melissa Mays right before you took up this feed from the press conference, Melissa Mays is one of those activists in Flint who taught the country what was going on there. I would not have been able to cover what was happening in Flint without Melissa Mays documenting what happened to her family. I mean, forming activist organizations with her neighbors, making YouTube, explanatory YouTube videos to try to get national media interested in covering what was going on, trying to get answers, publicizing the people who were doing the right thing to try to back them up as the state attacked them. And to see her standing there saying, you know what? Yeah, accountability is great, but we still don't have clean water in Flint, and it's going to be years until we get it. That really is the bottom line here. Flint has caused so many ripples. There is lead testing going on all over the country. We wouldn't know that Newark schools had high levels of lead if this had not happened in Flint and there hadn't been so much tension. And it's honestly great to think that somebody's going to be called to account for what happened here, because this was an act of commission. This was a policy. This was a policy. This wasn't just something that went wrong slowly over time. But the fact that people who live in Flint still today do not have clean water delivered to them, while this is happening at the political level and the criminal justice level, it just makes me angry to watch it. It makes me mad for the people of Flint.
You and I talked about infrastructure in the course of last night's election coverage. Speaking of infrastructure, they're replacing the pipes, but they're doing it.
The city is doing it.
Yeah.
With money they're scrounging together themselves.
Right.
The state legislature says, yeah, maybe we'll give you money to replace them. Pipes will get around to talking about it in the fall. I mean, what happened in Flint is not that lead-contaminated water was put through the pipes. What happened in Flint was that corrosive water was put through the pipes that ruined the pipes.
Right.
And now the pipes continue to be ruined. Case in point, the stunt that the governor is pulling right now, saying that he's going to drink Flint water for 30 days. He went to a home in Flint that had a filter on the faucet, and he took gallons of water that was poured through that filter into his gallon jugs, and he took those home and said he's going to drink them for 30 days. Those filters are rated by the federal government to clear lead up to 150 parts per billion. That's 10 times the sort of federal danger zone. If you're at 15 parts per billion, danger, Will Robinson. At 150 parts per billion, that's what that filter is supposed to take care of. That specific house that Flint, that the governor of Michigan took that water from, we have its lead testing results from the past few months. In January, it was somewhere under 5. February, somewhere under 5. First part of March, it was somewhere under 5. Mid-March, it was over 250 parts per billion. Then it went back down in April to somewhere around 5. So, okay, I hope it was a good lead day, the day that Rick Snyder went in there and took gallons of water through that filter to take home with him. I hope it was a good day, because if it wasn't, that filter that he was drawing that water through isn't actually rated to be able to handle the kind of lead that was coming through that faucet one day when they happened to be testing in Flint. The pipes are ruined. It's not bad water. It's that they've destroyed the infrastructure. And the lack of interest in fixing the infrastructure, even as we're scoring political points and pulling political stunts and now bringing low-lying criminal charges against effectively the Lindy Englands of this case, if we wanted to make an analogy to Abu Ghraib, which is totally inappropriate, but I'm mad. It's good to see accountability coming, but this problem is not fixed. People in Flint can't drink from the tap, and nobody's working on that except for Flinters themselves. And that's just unexcusably wrong.
The pipes themselves are a toxic path. They are a toxic part of the problem. It's as if the bloodstream of Flint is toxic itself. Former home of Buick, AC spark plugs. Most Chevrolets were made there. Population was at its height twice what it is today. Mm-hmm. A lot, I was saying before you joined us, a lot of good-hearted people, celebrities, organizations, charities, by the pallet delivered bottled water to Flint and said, well, I feel better about that. They'll at least have clean water.
And it was a nice, good thing to do.
Yes, try showering in Poland Spring water by 16 ounces by 16 ounces.
We are coming up next week on 2 years since Flint made this switch. And if you've ever did, if you've ever had a power outage or another water outage for some reason, and you had to brush teeth with bottled water and cook pasta with bottled water and make do for a day or two or a weekend or even a week, you know how hard it is. What you want to do is leave and go to a family member's house that does have watering. But the folks in Flint have been dealing with this. You know, 30,000 households, 100,000 people in Flint have been dealing with this for a couple of years now. And you can't get out because your house is now worthless in Flint. Because of what the state did to it. Because of the, I mean, what are home values in, for the nicest homes in Flint if they were on Flint water? The lack of interest in actually making the city habitable, doing right by the people who have been harmed by this, or making Flint whole again, even as these other forms of accountability go forward, it shows you why people who live in Flint are so mad and so distrustful. They do feel like, you're talking about this earlier, they do feel like they were seen as dispensable, that their health was seen as something that could be excused and forgotten about because their voices would be never be loud enough to make a difference. And the fact that they're still not being made right, even as politics on this moves on, it frankly proves their point.
Do you think it was that? Daniel Patrick Moynihan left us with the, in its way, great phrase, benign neglect. Do you think it was benign neglect, or, as I posited, did someone make a value judgment that they just weren't important enough? They were just less than worthy of clean water.
That happened. The latter happened once the switch was made and Flint residents were screaming bloody murder that something was wrong. Once they were complaining about what was wrong and they were ignored, they were dismissed, they were attacked, that was because they were seen as dispensable. But the reason it happened in the first place is what makes Flint totally different than all of the other lead poisoning stories we're looking at around the country, than all of the other infrastructure stories of water related or not. The way that it happened is very specific to Flint and very specific to Michigan. And that is that Michigan has an incredibly radical structural piece of governance that no other state has, which is that if your city is poor, and more often in Michigan, if your city is black, it means that you're a majority black city most of the time, is the way this has worked. If you're a very poor city, the state comes in, basically invalidates all of your local elections. It says your local mayor, your local city council, yeah, fine, go ahead and vote for them. We're taking away their power. And instead, the governor will put in somebody to take over and run that city basically in an autocratic way, where they are the government. Nobody else has to sign off on everything. It's a one-man government that is not an elected official from that place. It's called their emergency manager law. And other jurisdictions have slightly more sane versions of it. But the Michigan one is almost inconceivable in its, I believe, in its anti-democratic radicalism. And that may sound very efficient to put one person in charge of anything. You certainly have cut all the red tape. But the reason there's red tape, the reason there's bureaucracy, the reason there's all these government agencies that this emergency manager law essentially does away with is because those parts of government have a role to play in making decisions about technocratic, boring, expert-driven things like how to safely switch your water supply.
Yeah.
And when instead you just have somebody appointed by the governor who can say, forget it, I know how to do it, and I don't want to deal with all this pesky governance, that's how you get a decision, like switching to the Flint River without taking the necessary action to make it safe to do. The Flint River is not a good, not necessarily a good water source, but it would not be rocket science to make that a safe drinking water source. That decision to switch to the Flint River was not itself a problem. It was that they did it in a way that was negligent, ignorant, inexplicable, and born of a radical government decision, a radical governance decision that one person should be in charge without hindrance of anybody else giving them advice or having to participate in the decision. That's what's so weird about Michigan and what went wrong in Flint.
Final question, maybe the toughest. While we're doing callbacks to great senators of the 70s, Howard Baker of Tennessee at least popularized the phrase, what did he know and when did he know it? And I asked that about the governor of Michigan. Yeah. In your view, what did he know? When did he know it?
Well, at the very most fundamental level, the person who was in charge of Flint, the one person who replaced Flint city government and became a one-person governor of that city, reported only to one person, and that was the governor of Michigan. So the lines of accountability are very clear. If we can prove that Michigan Governor Rick Snyder didn't know anything that was going on, that itself is a problem, since he was the one line of accountability that this emergency manager had. That itself is part of the issue. The other part of the issue here is that what Governor Snyder has disclosed in terms of emails from his office, Michigan also has a very untransparent system by which basically the governor and his staff, their emails and their documents aren't obtainable by FOIA. And Governor Snyder did make a lot of stuff public, but everything that he's made public thus far shows a lot of discussion of this problem by people very, very high up in the governor's office, not just in the administration, but his chief of staff, his senior advisors, people who work directly for him, all of them discussing this frequently over a long period of time. And the governor maintains that despite all of that discussion, none of it ever rose to him. And in a best case scenario, that raises some pretty serious questions about how he's governing the state. In the worst case scenario, you don't believe that he's was as ignorant as he's claiming to be.
Rachel Maddow, who something tells me on the show of her same name tonight will.
Okay, we're back. This is Sister Zion. You are listening to Shifting Paradigms, and we are just basically discussing the latest on Flint, Michigan. This is very corrupt on every level, guaranteed. And as Rachel Maddow stated, and I'm not a huge, huge fan of Rachel Maddow, but what I do appreciate of her is that she has been one of the few journalists who has gone into the state of Michigan and has over and over again exposed the political corruption in Michigan, the state of Michigan as a whole. I, as I've stated before, I grew up in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And if you do not know, Benton Harbor, Michigan was one of those small, predominantly black towns that basically, I believe it's called a charter, they had their charter removed and they were then taken over by the state. So their mayor was kicked out, their city council was kicked out, and basically rendered null and void. And if they existed, they did not really have any real power. So, and it's my understanding, I still have relatives who live there, that is still pretty much the case, that the governor of Michigan is basically running Benton Harbor, Michigan. And so that is apparently the case with Flint as well. And so, like, you know, Ms. Maddow was saying, that one of the problems with this entire situation is not that the governor is making these autonomous decisions, because it seems from the outset that that would be cool. That would be a great thing, because you don't have to go through a lot of bureaucratic red tape to get things done. Things get done a little bit quicker. And, you know, it appears from the outset just to be a wiser thing. But those bureaucratic institutions exist for the express purpose of avoiding things like a Flint, Michigan. You go out and you pay a group of people to go out and study the water and find out what we need to do to purify the Flint River before we change the pipes over. We test the pipes to make sure that if there's anything that needs to be infrastructurally ahead of time, so as to avoid any type of incident. We go ahead and we replace the infrastructure then. We do everything and take, you know, steps to make sure that things are done properly and kind of seamlessly so that Flint, Michigan does not happen. And unfortunately, and Flint's not the only one, but this is because of the situation with the political corruption with Governor Schneider and his administration. That's what kind of makes them unique in this particular situation. And the reason why I want to continue covering this from time to time is because I don't want our people to forget. We have a very short memory span. And if it's not in the forefront of the news all the time, and even if it is all the time, you're tired of, oh, I'm so tired of hearing about this. Oh, when are they going to do this, that, and the other so that I don't have to hear about this anymore? But that's not the attitude that I really want my listeners to take. I really want you to understand that these are our brothers and sisters who are, by and large, being affected by this particular situation, and they are suffering. Many of them are suffering. Many of them really don't have the means, the financial means to move on their own. They want to, but they don't have the financial means. There, many of them, from what I understand, that called and contacted me, some of them even have families in various areas, but those family members are not a really constructive support system for them, you know, for them to be able to relocate and be okay. Because it is one thing to relocate, but it's another thing to relocate and to be okay and actually anchor yourself, to get a job, to get a house, to get a home and be able to live in a decent neighborhood so that you can get up on your feet and begin to live your life again. So that's what I want. For those who want that in the city of Flint, Michigan, that's what I want for them. That's really all there is to it. So, and because there's so many other things going on in terms of a lawsuit, this is becoming a very precarious and sticky situation. And I really believe that one of the reasons why more of the people that contacted me through the Flint Relocation Project, more of them did not participate, is because they might have been intimidated on some level. I mean, anytime somebody would come at me, and I'm nobody, really, and all I'm trying to do is help, and they live there, you know, I don't know what they may be going through. And so I think it's just something that we need to take into consideration, that we need to help as much as possible and be our brother's keeper. I mean, that's really what it's coming down to. And this is not the first time that we're going to have to do this. I really believe that we are facing very perilous times. And as the economy gets worse, as things begin to break down in the government, not just on a city or state, city, county, or state level, as it begins to break down on a national level, we are going to need each other. We are going to need to have each other's backs. And if we don't, then there's no way that many of us are even going to survive. We're going to need each other. And that's basically it. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we return, we'll have Promise from Flint, Michigan on the line. She's waiting, and she will basically share with us what her experience has been with regard to dealing with the Flint water crisis as a resident of Flint. This is Sister Zion. You are listening to Shifting Paradigms. The number here is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549032. It's star 6 and 1 to comment or to ask a question. We will be back in just a moment.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Attention everyone!
Join me, Zion, every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Shifting Paradigms, right here on Black Talk Radio.
And we are back. This is Sister Zion. You're listening to Shifting Paradigms. And today we're just simply giving an update as to what's going on with the Flint water crisis. What's going on with our people in Flint? I have Promise on the line. She is a resident of Flint. She is also seeking relocation, but she's going to share with us her experience with this entire situation. Promise, how are you? Thank you for your patience.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to come on and to share your story and your insights. Because it's good to hear somebody. They can hear it from me, but I'm like more than 2,000 miles away, more than 2,000 miles away. And, you know, I have people in and around Flint, but you are actually living in Flint. You're actually going through this situation. If you could please tell our listeners what it is, how this has affected you. First of all, give us a little background as to how long you've been in Flint, your experiences in general, and then give us some background as to how this experience has affected you and your family, if you will.
I've been in Flint since 1971. Since I was about one, I was raised and born and raised in Lansing and came to Flint. I've been in Flint all my life. The economy in Flint is really bad, as far as jobs, no jobs. You have to drive about 45 to 50 miles just one way to get a job, a decent job, to actually be able to make it here in Flint. It's little jobs like McDonald's and Taco Bell. You really can't take care of a family off of what they give you. So you have to drive 40 or 50 miles just to get a job. My experience with the water is breaking people down. It's sending people through a lot of stuff. Like, you have to carry a lot of water upstairs to actually take a bath. You have a two-story house. We have over 100 cases of water in our house right now. We take our bottles down to the Flint fire station because that's what fills up our garbage the most, is the plastic bottles. The water here is garbage. I have sores all over my arms, my legs, rashes, black spots on my arm. I'm losing my hair. I have a compromised immune system. I have rheumatoid arthritis, osteoporosis, and arthritis. So a person with a compromised immune system is really bad on them. Like, it breaks you down even quicker. Yeah. The only thing I use the water for is to take a shower and to use the bathroom. It's hard lugging all that water upstairs. You have to warm it up, walk it upstairs, bring the stuff back. You have to, it's a lot of time consuming. So I just use it just to take a bath. it's hard. To me, living the way we're living here in Flint, it's really humane because I feel like we're all being treated like some animals because they're still sending us water bills. We had a water bill for over $400.
Oh, wow.
For water, we can't drink. We can't cook in it. There's nothing we can do with the water but flush it in the toilet. So we're paying to use the bathroom, basically. They're talking about getting us 5 gallon water tanks that you flip up in your water thing and put pumps on so we can actually take a shower with this water. They're doing some of the pipes. I've only seen them do about 8 houses. They're doing more pipe repair on the abandoned houses, the houses that's left, than the ones that people was living in the houses. Our lead level started at 1. Now it's 7. Now wow. We have copper in our pipe, our copper in our water. They're talking about arsenic in our water. They're not going to fix this. My grandkids will be around to see when they finish fixing this because it's not going to be an instantaneous thing. To me, they're not doing all that they can because if they was, they wouldn't be sending out water bills for water we can't use.
I agree. When did you get your water bill? I mean, because I can imagine the shock, you know, of getting a water bill while you're going through this. What were you feeling, you know, when you got this bill?
And they're cutting off people's waters today. All the people who stopped paying the water bills just waiting on the rebate to come out, they're starting to cut off the waters today. They're cutting people's water off today.
Oh, my. I was not aware of ruling.
Yeah, they were talking about it the other day. And they said that they were going to start cutting off people's water today who have stopped paying their water bill. But they gave like so much of a credit. I think we got like a $600-something credit. So our water bill was really over $1,000.
Oh my goodness.
And they gave us a $600 credit, but they really actually expect you to pay this. If you don't, to get your water cut back on, it's $500. Filing fee. You have to pay a filing fee. It's an $80 filing fee or $90. It's a lot of money. It's like almost $600. If your water gets cut off, you have to pay your bill plus the $600 to get your water cut back on.
Oh, my. Thank you so much for sharing that because I really don't think that a lot of people outside of Flint understand the gravity of that because that's serious. So they're poisoning you, and then they expect you to pay for the poison. And then they're saying that they're going to give you a rebate. But in the process of them processing this rebate, they're actually cutting off water supply. You know, it's such a conundrum in the sense that you have this poisoned water, but it's all you have. But they're going to even take that away from you because you didn't pay a bill. It's ridiculous. It's the most insane thing that I've ever heard it going on in government, period. It is disgusting. So,
I totally agree with you. To me, in my honest opinion, if I had my opinion would be I don't see why the people downtown Flint is even down there. To me, their salaries need to go on fixing the water because they don't really do anything, in my opinion. They sit down there, they lollygag. Really, the money that they're paying them, they could use that and put that in with the water to help people of the Flint area to be able to do better. Or they need to ask FEMA to get involved and relocate the people who actually want to leave. I was told by a friend of mine, they offered her $6,000 for a house. Her house is not even 5 years old. So to offer somebody $6,000 is like an insult. They have paid over $100,000 for their house. How are they going to take $6,000 for their house? Some of the people, like my boyfriend, he's a homeowner. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to walk away from his property. And I don't half blame him because this is something that he's invested in. They're not willing to give nobody no resources to leave. they don't want to do anything for, they want somebody to actually stay here and deal with this. But in the meantime, you have elderly people here. You have children here. You have people who have, like myself, compromised immune systems that's really going through it. And if anybody can help in Flint, I'm so appreciative. I appreciate all the water that and filters that people have sent. But we need relocation. That's what the people of Flint need to be evacuated and relocated for the ones who do want to leave. I don't really care if anybody gets mad for me saying that I would like to leave. I would love to leave Flint, Michigan, because at least it'll give me and my kids a chance to actually sit down in some clean water and take a bath. I haven't actually took a bath in a minute. I've been taking showers. So it's, I don't want to sit in that lead water, you know. I'd rather just stand up and take a shower. And I really don't want to get in it for that, but I'm not going to walk around stinky. So I have to do what I have to do, you know.
No, I understand. And that's the other reason why I wanted to have you on is because I really think our listeners need to understand the gravity of the situation, because it's one thing to have water to drink, but it's another thing to have water to live altogether. And so they don't take, when they're dropping off filters and bottled water and grant you a lot of the filters that are being donated are not filters, you know, for showers or filters for an entire household water supply. It is strictly for drinking water. So when you're dealing with that, and then if you take into account, because this is the other thing I wanted to bring out, is that there are different parts of Flint that are affected more than others. So someone might live on another side of Flint and their water might be fine. But someone on another side of town in Flint, they're going through hell because their water is not potable at all. So this is what I need you to understand. So if you hear anybody from Flint, because I have, if you hear anybody, listeners from Flint, saying, you know what, it's really not that bad, I'm fine, where I live is good, well, that's that person. There are more people who are suffering, trust me, as a result of this, than who are not. And so, unfortunately, a lot of people who are not suffering are kind of getting kind of testy and upset with the people who are suffering. And I need to place at the forefront of this, I would be remiss if I did not, that any time, and I know this does not just affect the Black population, but this is a predominantly Black town.
Correct.
This is a predominantly Black town, so the majority of the people who are being affected by this are our people. So, and it really sounds like an issue of genocide and gentrification, because as you stated, Promise, they wanted, you know, somebody who they wanted to offer them $6,000 for their property. That is an insult. That's adding insult to injury.
I agree.
So it's incredibly ridiculous, and but unfortunately, and this is what I've told a couple of homeowners that have called me, because it's a little bit more involved when you are dealing with a homeowner or a property owner or landowner rather.
Right.
I told them, you know, your life is actually more important. So I understand you don't want to be there, but if the lead levels are so high that it is affecting your health and it is compromising your ability to live there and drink clean, decent water and bathe and wash your clothes in clean, decent water, then my suggestion would be that you do what you can, leave, and then get yourself together and then from where you are, deal with the issue of your property and your land. But this, it, to me, more and more sounds like an asserted effort to gentrification, to basically wipe out Flint as it is, just as was done in Katrina, and then bring in, you know, what they would deem a more suitable residency in Flint.
I agree. Totally agree. That's what I was talking with a friend of mine, and I was telling her, I said, that's what I think they're trying to do. I think they're trying to flush a lot of people out, because first they were talking about putting everybody in Flint on one side of town. Well, that's not going to work. Crime is already high here. We have over 60-something murders a year. Yeah. So it's not like that they can put everybody on side of town and everything's going to be peaches and cream. Well, the police response time here, if you call the police at 7, they're not coming until probably the next day or the day after. They don't have good response time here. And the crime will probably more than likely go up so high where they're not going to be able to even control it if they put everybody on one side of town. That's not going to work. It's going to be so many murders here. They're going to have that to worry about, then the water. You know, to me, like I said, I just think they need to offer the people who want to leave a voucher to leave, and then they probably won't have that many houses to actually fix, because some people do want to stay here. I'm one of the people who want to leave.
And rightfully so. Rightfully so, and it should not be held against you. But this is also, like you said, Flint has always been notorious in terms of crime rates. I remember in the 80s, and this is when I still lived in Michigan. Like I said, I grew up in Benton Harbor, Michigan, south of you all. Flint actually had the distinction of being the most violent city in the country. And this was back in the 80s. So that it no longer has that distinction anymore. I think it has now been, you know, taken over by, I think at last that I saw was Richmond, Virginia. But still, it's still a high crime rate.
And yeah, we're at least at number 3. I believe we're still on the top 5. We're still up there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, no, I totally agree. I totally agree. But what I'm saying is that there has to be, there's a better solution than just us throwing filters at this and moving, shuffling people around Flint, you know, to try to, you know, play musical houses or whatever, trying to figure out where people can live in Flint. And people want to leave, they should be able to leave. However, FEMA has emphatically stated that they will not assist people in moving because they don't deem it to be a natural disaster. This is something that was man-made, and because it was man-made, they do not feel the need to intervene. And that is the reason why they have not intervened. However, the state of Michigan itself has the ability and the wherewithal to get resources together to help people relocate if they so desire, and they have not done so. As a matter of fact, the state of Michigan has dragged their feet in every respect in assisting the people of Flint, Michigan on any level, be it with relocation efforts, be it with this entire situation, even with assistance in paying the water bills that you all shouldn't really be paying in the first place.
Correct.
So it is really just kind of, it's such a mess. But like I said, I'm glad you're here, Promise, because they need to hear from you exactly what it is that you need. And as you stated, you and your family would like to leave. And when you have a compromised immune system, your immune system is one of the things that helps you to fight off diseases. And it helps you to fight off, you know, a lot of things. So if your immune system is compromised, you're more vulnerable to becoming even sicker than what you normally would. And so, thank you, sis, so much for sharing your account. And the number here is 641-715-3660. If you have any questions or comments for Promise, the extension is 549-032. Hit *6 and 1 to ask any questions or to make a comment. We welcome your comments and your questions. Promise from Flint, Michigan is here, and she's basically giving us some insight as to what has been taking place in Flint, Michigan. And it's actually very painful to hear. She's telling me some other things. And what are some of the other things that you've experienced, Promise, if you don't mind sharing with us?
Physically? You talking about physically?
How this has even affected you financially?
It's basically, it's a draining process. They give us water and they give us filters, but this financially and it's emotionally is really draining, only because, and it's really consuming, because if you're not able to like carry a case of water upstairs or move some stuff, move another case of water, just be able to move it to do what you need to do for yourself, that's hard in itself. I've never been the type of person to actually have a lot of scars on my arms and face. I have a whole, it looks like needle marks on my arms, like where the sores actually come. They get a red part of a head, and you just be able to pop them off. It's like making scars. Your arms, my arms look like I have eczema, like in the corner of my elbows. My hair is like receding back. I'm only 46, so I've always had a lot of hair, but it's heartbreaking because I love my hair so much that I'm losing it only because of this water. Like, I started washing my hair with the bottled water, and it's improving, but overall, the toll that it's taking on my body, I'm not feeling it. It drains you, you know, like I don't have a good immune system, so it's hard for my body to fight off anything. What I wouldn't give to sit in a nice clean tub of water right now, I would love to. But here, it's not applicable. I'm not able to do that.
I am so sorry, Promise. But I thank you for sharing that. Because our listeners need to hear that. They need to know what this is and how this is impacting you and your family. Scotty, our producer, had a question with regard to legal help. Scotty?
Yes. Thank you, Promise, for having courage to come on and share your story and help us keep it in the minds of our listeners. You are showing, you know, to be a very strong woman. And I'm very, very sorry, you know, that the state of Michigan committed this crime against you and the other people of Flint. Before I ask the question, just to piggyback off of what Sister Zion was just saying, think about this, people. Think about how the CEO of USA Inc., President Obama, and other politicians were just begging other countries and you know, allocating money to relocate Syrian war refugees here to this country, but yet our own so-called citizens are not being helped in a similar fashion. Some key things, you know, that was said, and this is towards the legal end now, you know, like I said, Sister Zion has been reporting on this from time to time, keeping us updated and what have you. And like she said, you know, FEMA talking about they can't do nothing because it's a man-made disaster and not a natural disaster. Look, this government can do any and everything it wants to do because it does it all the time, whether it's legal or illegal. They don't follow their own rules. But since they are saying it's man-made, then that seems like to me good grounds for a lawsuit, you know, and offering somebody $6,000 for a $100,000 house. You know, it just seems like everyone should be part of some class action lawsuit. Now, I had read an article, Judge Mathis, the TV judge who grew up in Detroit, and he had went to Flint. And in this article, it talked about, you know, they were setting up some kind of legal, you know, network to help people in Flint. Have you heard anything about that in terms of, you know, people coming in providing legal help?
Yes, they had one little thing at a little hall over there off of 475. And it was just like a class action suit for the children. They were getting the children that was under 18, tested positive for lead. I filled out papers for a class action suit. My boyfriend has done the same thing for his son. So we're following like all the law that we possibly can. They haven't came out with nothing for the adults as far as a class action suit. They're just really basically concerned about the kids, and I'm okay with that. As long as the kids get treated, I'm okay.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Sister Promise, but you just describe how your health is being negatively impacted. And I don't want, you know, to instill any fear in your heart, but who knows how your health will be in 10 years, you know? And so these children have parents. And so, you know, I'm looking at it like, you know, injured people. To me, it doesn't matter if it's a child, if it's an elderly person, or if it's a, you know, person in their 20s, 30s, or 40s. You have been injured. And you deserve compensation for that, because as the federal government has said, this was man-made. This was not an accident. Right. This was not natural disaster. Like Judge Mathis said, this was actually a terrorist attack on the people of Flint. And so I just hope that, you know, the people of Flint, all the people of Flint, not just the children, will be compensated. I mean, if somebody damages your home, let's say, you know, out of control car runs into your home and damages your home, well, guess what? You're going to be compensated for that. You know, how much ever it takes to repair that home. And so if these properties have been destroyed by the contamination, then those homeowners need to be compensated for the fair market value of their homes. That's all I got. I'm just extremely disturbed over this whole situation on so many levels of the people.
Like, I haven't heard anything about them recompensating the homeowners. The only thing that I basically heard is about the lead for the kids. Just the class action suit. Like I said, I signed up. I signed every paper that they needed me to sign. I'll sign some more if they need me to. Do whatever I need to do to actually get out of this situation, because it's taking a toll on my life and everybody else's life that's here, not just mine, everybody's. Everybody in the 4504 and 4505 and surrounding areas, we all have lead in our water. And it's terrible that we have a mayor here that she's doing a lot of footwork, but to me, she's not doing enough. And the governor needs to be with the other three that was indicted. They're not trying to do any of that. And he's talking about he's going to drink water off the jugs. Come to 4504 and get some water from one of our pipes, because we have a lead level of 7 now. And it's getting higher and higher each week. It started at 1, went to 2, 4, and then 7. And then we have copper in our water and arsenic. So I don't know what they're going to do. I wish they'd hurry up and do it. I just want a way out, because they're not going to do anything no time soon.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Scotty, for your questions and your input. But I'm just really frustrated the more and more I hear. And yes, we want to make sure that the children are taken care of, but you as a parent yourself, if you're not good as a parent in terms of your health, you can't even be the parent that your children need. And so, you know, like Scotty said, like 5, 10 years down the line, you could be having some type of physical reaction as a result of any one of the toxins that are in this water. So, you know, of course, they don't want to be left looking heartless before the world by not even helping the children of Flint, when they should, I mean, but at the same time, everybody needs help. I had another person through the Flint Relocation Project tell me that a friend of theirs who was elderly and had been in the hospital had actually went into the hospital for something at, you know, they had other health issues, but they went into the hospital for something relatively, you know, kind of, you know, benign.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they went home, and then within about a couple of weeks or so, they passed away. And they really, the family is convinced, and she is convinced, that it had a lot to do with the water, because she actually left the hospital sicker than what she went in.
Legionnaires,
so this takes a lot for the fact that they're not doing anything really to help the actual residences. They're actually helping, you know, the businesses or anything else. It was my understanding that even one of the local universities there, they were given access to clean water, but in terms of the actual people that live there, they're not trying to help. They're not trying to help the actual residents, and that cooks me. The other thing is Scotty brought this out, but also I can't think of his name right now. He's over Rush Enterprises, hip hop mogul. Russell Simmons, he actually posted about the same machine that Scotty and I had discussed once before that the military uses, and when they're overseas, when they're doing various missions, and the water is not potable, there is a machine that they bring in to purify the water so that it is potable, so that it is clean. So if they can go and do that for the military while they're overseas, why isn't it that they can't do that for the people of Flint? Why can't they get like one or two of these machines and set them up so that they can clean and purify the water so that it is potable for people to drink? So there's so many unanswered questions and so many things that are wrong with this. And this is why it looks all the more like a situation of gentrification and genocide. This is Sister Zion. I'm being joined with Thomas from Flint, Michigan. You're listening to Shifting Paradigms. The number here is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549032. Hit *61 to ask a question or to make a comment of any kind. I invite any questions or comments toward our guest here, Thomas from Flint, Michigan. We had a call on the line and he disappeared. If you're still interested in asking any questions, please chime in at any time. But right now we're going to stop for a little break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Are you tired of mainstream media insulting your spirit and your intelligence? Join me, Zion. Allow me to shift your paradigm every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Shifting Paradigms, right here on Black Talk Radio.
Live to die, gotta live. Life is what it is. Don't have much. For my all, I won't give. I'm stingy. Everything I keep for my own.
Welcome back. I am Sister Zion. I'm being joined by Promise from Flint, Michigan, who is a resident of Flint, Michigan. She has lived there basically her entire life, and she is giving us insights as to her experiences as a Flint resident within this water crisis. She also desires to relocate, has been met with a lot of financial difficulty, and is even experiencing a great deal of physical challenges as a result of the water contamination. The number here is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549032. Hit pound, hit *61 to ask a question or to make a comment. And Promise is also here to ask any questions that you have. But we want to help this sister and anyone else in the city of Flint who wants and needs to relocate. It is imperative. The government is not going to help us. And I just said it before, I really have my misgivings, because when you look at what happened with Katrina and how families were split up and how FEMA handled that situation, I'm not so sure that we should even want a government entity such as FEMA. to handle our people's situation. Because it's been proven time and again that, you know, whatever they do for us, they don't do it for our well-being. There are some families who are still missing relatives that they never saw again that didn't die in Katrina. It was during the course of the exodus from New Orleans that they totally did not see their family, their relatives again. There are families who are missing children. That doesn't get discussed a lot. But there are a lot of families and people who were separated from their children and other relatives during the whole exodus from New Orleans and who have yet to see or hear from them. So we shouldn't even want to, but as we have the ability to help our own, that's what we should do. And the most I know that I had the ability on my own to help, Promise would have been out of there. Like, I'm telling you, like yesterday. But our people need help. And those that want to leave, they should have the ability to leave. Promise, is there anything else that you would like to share? And like I said, if the caller that was on the line who wanted to ask a question, I see that you may be back. If you're still interested in asking a question or making a comment, just hit star 6 and 1 and we'll bring you on. But Promise, was there anything else that you wanted to say with regard to that?
The only thing I would like to say, I would like to thank your listeners for listening. I am a resident, like she said, of Flint, and I am wanting to relocate to the state of Georgia. So me and my family can have clean drinking water and live our lives the way they need to be. We don't have to lug stuff up and down the stairs to actually be able to take a bath, to brush our teeth. Just they can have to lug a whole case of water upstairs for everybody in the house to brush their teeth and to wash their face every morning. To make coffee, you have to go get a jug of water to actually wash your face, a jug of water. It's like I said, I feel like they're treating us like animals, and they're going to continue to do this because they're going to take their time doing what they want to do. In the meantime, like I said, I would just love to relocate. I need to relocate. I want to go to the state of Georgia and be able to put my family firmly on the ground and start roots where I really want to be at. Thank you for everything.
Well, thank you so much, Promise. We have a caller on the line.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brother Dave. This is Brother Dave that's calling from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I wanted to, I want to offer the sister as much as a personal condolence for the loss of a whole city. When I say that, I mean, I think this is a plan, personally. This is just my opinion. But I think that as it looks right now, are there any organizations within the city that are helping the people of the city? We're trying to organize, at least align those who want to leave with a possible sources to help them to leave.
No. There's not. The only way that you can actually get some help is to go to a different state or go online and find a job and then actually take your papers to DHS and then they will relocate you. But that's the only way. There's no charitable institutions, no Salvation Army helping with relocation, none of that.
I think this is going to be indicative of cities falling into the same category as Flint. This is not going to be a one city problem. No, and I also think that the people who literally can do something is going to have to understand that this is going to have to be a collaboration. This is not going to be a one person. So if you think one person is going to be the one who can come to the aid of the city, no, I think those people who are professionals who have the avenues of bringing their experience into play should do so. And the sad part about that is that the programming today teaches us that we should take care of ourselves well. Our brothers and sisters are us, and whether it be Flint or some other place, because other cities are starting to come up now with the same or similar problems. We are going to have to take the forefront as people to do something. I personally, in the area of expertise, I'm in transportation. There's not a whole lot of I could do in reference to what your situation is immediately, unless something happens and an avenue comes up in which you can make some sort of transitional move. maybe there's a way that we can get together and use my resources as well as yours and try to help you make that relocation. But in reality, there needs to be some people in Atlanta that have properties that literally are maybe dormant who could offer you a window of 6 months or so or a year to come down and try to establish yourself as far as being able to move your family, put them in a place that is safe, and be able to help you get income established so that you can sustain it. But these are in the terms of what we're going to have to start looking into now. As a people, I do think that Black Talk Radio does a job of conveying the problem, but we need the people who can hear the problem to convey some solutions. So my heart goes out to you, sisters. My ear is in the air, and if I hear of anything that could be a resource for us or a potential opportunity for us to take advantage of, I'll definitely convey it. I'm familiar with Scotty, and this is not my first time calling. So peace with you, sister. Peace and blessings. And if there's anything I could do on my end, I'll definitely convey it, because literally I think this is an endemic of something that may just be the canary in the cave mine, in the coal mine, so to speak.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
I received that, sister. You have a blessed day.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you so much for your input and your feedback. And just the well wishes, because I realize that a lot of our people, because like I said, I don't have it like that. And I've told Promises, we've spoken many times over the phone. And I told her, you know, if I had the wherewithal to do it myself, she and every family that contacted me through this Flint relocation project would be already out of Flint. However, I don't have it like that. And actually, it shouldn't be up to any one individual to get them out of there. Promise did share with me a month or so ago, when we talked, that Steve Harvey actually mentioned on his show. I don't watch Steve Harvey, but he actually mentioned on his show something with regard to possibly relocating the people of Flint. And nothing ever came of it. And he was a celebrity, you know. I would guess that he has some type of clout somewhere. But nothing ever came of it. And it actually kind of made me not feel so bad, because on a certain level, I felt like I kind of failed the people of Flint who really wanted to leave. But I also know that there's only so much that one person can do. So when you're making phone calls and you're trying and you're emailing people and people are kind of slow on the draw because they really don't see this as a priority, especially as it wanes from the headlines, then it's kind of frustrating, because I hear the urgency and I hear the pain in the voices of the people when they call. And it's devastating. It's devastating for me to hear. Let alone, and I'm here, but they're actually living it on a day-to-day basis. And I just don't see how we could just sit back and watch our people go through these changes and not be moved to actually help them. So if there is anybody, and is it the Atlanta area specifically that you're looking at this time, Promise?
Yes.
Okay, so if there's anybody listening and you have any resources or in terms of housing, in terms of employment in the Atlanta, Georgia area, please contact me at shiftingparadigms@outlook.com so that I can connect you with Sister Promise, and you can go and hopefully we can link up resources for her so we can get her family out of there. She, like I said, she's one of the only people, she is the only person who has expressed the interest in coming on the program to share her story so that you have a greater understanding as to what the people of Flint are actually going through. And they are going through a lot. People are even dying of Legionnaire's disease. At last count that I knew of, the number was at 7, but from what I understand, there may be even more. There have been women who were pregnant who are actually saying that they believe that their miscarriages were as a result of the contaminated water. So this is far-reaching, and it's far beyond the scope of what we can even wrap our minds around right now. But what we do know right now is that they need to get the heck up out of there. If they want to leave, we need to do whatever we can to provide the resources for them to leave. How has this affected your children, Promise?
My kids are, my 16-year-old daughter, she has got a lot of sores on her. She's, as far as, her reading and her, educational thing, it hasn't affected her any, and I thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing it has affected just her physical, as far as like the scars and the sores and the hair loss and, just, I mean, it's really taken just mentally and physically, it's just really taken a toll on everybody, my kids, other people's kids, just the Flint area.
Yeah. And especially for a teenage girl to have to go through losing your hair and having, you know, your skin break out, that can be a very traumatizing experience.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, I can't even imagine. But I know, like I said, that teenagers already have a difficult time sometimes with body acceptance and the various things that are going on with their bodies in the first place. Without mm-hmm. this situation, so if you add to this entire drama of, you know, you not being able to use what is conducive to life, people need to understand how important water is and how important clean, pure water is. Your body is more than 75% water. Your brain is approximately more than 85% water alone. So your body is basically comprised of water.
Correct.
So that is an element for life and good health in every respect. Because if you're not healthy physically, you're really not going to be too healthy mentally. You're not going to be too healthy spiritually. You want to be of sound mind and of soundness and sound in your body. And unfortunately, for our people in Flint, because of the situation with the contamination of the water, it is bringing forth sicknesses that is making it hard, not for them just physically, but this is stuff that eventually starts to wear away at your soul. So this is just not just a deeper, a basic situation of, oh, you know, they just need clean water because. This is something that actually, after a period of time, begins to wear away at your soul. So if there is anybody in the Atlanta, Georgia area who would be willing to help, please contact me so that I can put you in touch with her. And the reason why we're doing it that way is because I you know, I don't want to, we get some weirdos. I'm just going to say it like that because I've encountered a few weirdos in establishing the Flint Relocation Project where people are just kind of strange and they don't know I don't know what they want to do, but their intentions don't always sound above board. So I want to be able to vet people who say that they want to help so that I'm not putting her in harm's way or putting her in another situation where she's leaping out of the frying pan and into the fire. So that's why we're going to do it that way. And that's basically all it is. If you want the help, please contact me. It is shiftingparadigms@outlook.com. Contact me and let me know what resources you have. And even if you don't want to necessarily be in contact with her directly, if you have resources with regard to housing and employment, if you know someone who can help her with employment, who can help her with a place to live, and you know, that's what we need right now. Because we want to get her out of there and help her and be a blessing to her so that she's up and running and getting herself, she and her family can put down roots down there and actually establish a life for themselves. And, you know, as the brother stated, we're going to need each other anyway. So what better time than now? I promise, was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'd just like to thank you for everything.
No, I thank you because, like Scotty said, it takes a lot of courage to do this. And I want to do more. And I pray to have the ability to do more, but I really believe that you know, I just want to do what I can do right now. And right now, I want to get your voice out there so that it's heard and so that you're able to get the help that you need so that your children don't have to go through this anymore. You don't have to go through this anymore. I happen to be an empath. I'm very empathetic towards other people's situations. And in that, I have some understanding and some insight, but there's nothing like hearing it from you. It's nothing like understanding it from your perspective. The number here is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549032. Hit pound, hit *6 and 1 to ask a question or a comment. This is Shifting Paradigms. And right now we're just giving an update with regard to Flint. I am being joined by Promise out of Flint, Michigan, who's grown up in Flint all of her life. And she has been sharing her experiences with regard to this situation, how it's affected her health, how it's, she already has a compromised immune system, and how this, the water, is actually progressively weakening her immune system even more and making her even more vulnerable to sickness. It is, for people who don't understand, or I can't fathom how anyone would not understand, but it's difficult for a woman to lose her hair, isn't it?
Yes, it's to me, it's traumatic. It's just like losing a part of your face, because I love my hair. I really, really love my hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's really traumatic. My daughter, she has to go get tracks and, just to cover some of the stuff up that's like being exposed in her head, you know?
Yes.
It's just terrible. She's 16 years old, and that's what she has to do, you know, because of what's going on.
Yeah. And that, like I said, that's a hard thing to endure. That's a very hard thing to endure for a woman. I know myself, I've not had that issue, but I know a few years back, I'd gotten very sick just from working and stress and so forth. And I started to lose my hair in that. And so I understand, and it's very traumatic, and it breaks your heart. It hurts your heart to see your hair coming out and to see, you know, various things going on with your body that you can't control. You can't control. So that's what I'm saying. And I guess one of my other frustrations in this whole thing is that we have a lot of people who understand the weight of this and who understand how this is impacting the city of Flint and its residents. And yet they go there on these what I call do-gooder missions. These are missions that really don't equate to a whole lot. And I understand the people of Flint are not, you know, barking, I mean, not, I shouldn't say barking, but they're not basically rejecting this. But I feel like a lot of people are just basically coming there with bottled water, cases of bottled water, and filters to make themselves feel good. And they are not actually asking the people of Flint themselves, what do you need from us? That's what we need people to do. We need somebody who is going to go to Flint and say, what can you do for us? What can we do for you? What do you need us to do? Or you want to leave? Okay, let me see what we can do to set you over resources so that you can leave. Instead of just bringing an incessant supply of filters and water. And the other frustrating, and I hate I was not able to get the audio with regard to this, is that one of the community activists actually stated that a lot of the clergy, the local clergy in Flint, were actually given money to help the citizens of Flint. And instead of them helping the citizens of Flint, they were basically helping themselves. So that is very frustrating, and all the more reason why we as a community need to come together and not just throw water and filters or even money at this. We need to help and support our brothers and sisters and make sure that they are well taken care of and that they are well provided for. We can't leave them to suffer like this. We can't. I mean, I want us to be able to understand that we need to do for people what we would want someone to do for us if we were in that situation. It's just really that simple.
Yeah.
The number here is... Go ahead, Thomas.
Like Hillary Clinton said, she said, if this problem had happened in Bloomfield Hills or up there by Dearborn, the problem would have already been solved. Because it's in Flint area, they haven't done anything.
Oh, yeah. But it was just like in the piece with Richard Maddow, where they were saying that, she was saying that many of the residents of Flint started to cry out as far back as almost 2 years ago. And they were being dismissed. Mm-hmm. And they were actually being mocked and basically told that it was no big deal, that it was okay. Oh, you're fine. You can drink the water. The water's fine to drink. Oh, you can take a shower. You can bathe in it. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until it kind of broke out nationwide late last year. But actually, it kind of like it was a buildup, because I remember hearing about it in April of last year. And then further and further towards the end of the year, there became this big rush in the media to cover this issue. But Flint's been going through this for almost 2 years now, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. So well, this really started getting bottled water like this year. So a mm-hmm. whole year we was drinking, consuming the water. Nobody was saying anything. So it is a lot of people that's sick and just need help and just want to get out or just want to stay here. In my opinion, they need to put a big old condemned sign on Flint and keep it moving. Because Flint has, from the 80s, it had actually went down like so much. It doesn't look like it used to look with General Motors and some of the clubs and some of the restaurants. You know it's bad when a McDonald's closed in your town. McDonald's is actually closed. We have lost a Meijer's 50 acres, one of them. They're getting ready to close the other one. I've never known a Meijer's to close in a city.
No.
Everything is leaving. Like, Flint is like a ghost town to me. Wherever you go, you have to duck and dodge potholes. There's big potholes big enough for a big human man to lay in, deep enough. It's going to tear the whole front end of your car. We're dealing with the water, the potholes, no jobs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, my. Go ahead, Thomas. Yes.
I said it's just a never ending.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. Actually, there was a brother who just basically drove around, and before he was leaving Flint, and on his way leaving out of Flint, he just kind of drove around and took pictures of the devastation, the vacant houses, just the potholes, like you said, just a lot of things that are going on with regards to the entire breakdown of infrastructure. So the pipes are one thing, but there has been an entire breakdown of infrastructure in the city of Flint. Total breakdown. The potholes, the properties, the dilapidated properties, just a whole host of things that really should not exist. Really, it really shouldn't be.
Correct.
But it
is. The school system is just as bad. We started off with 4 high schools. We have 1 now. We started off with over 36 elementary schools. I believe it's like 6 or 7 now.
Oh my.
We don't have any middle schools. Just straight from elementary straight to the high school, from 7th all the way to 12th grade. Mm. The city is poor. They don't give out school books. They make copies of inside the book. My daughters bring home pamphlets of the book. So they don't actually get a book. They get copies of a book. And then they want to turn around and charge me. Like, I have a $284 book that she didn't get, but I have to pay for one before she can graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, mm-hmm. they're charging for something that they're not even giving out. It's just terrible.
And for those of you who don't know what a Meijer is, Meijer is like a Walmart. it's actually a little bit bigger in some places. So Maya is a huge, you know, store that has everything you can imagine in it. And like she said, for a Meijer to close down in a major city, and it's not like they're relocating in the city. They're just closing. They're just leaving. That's something profound.
They're leveling the ground. There's no more building there. It's just an empty lot. It's terrible here. It's terrible.
So they're even making it difficult. So it's actually even becoming difficult to live in terms of anything, because if you don't have a store to go to, a reasonably priced store to even buy groceries or to buy clothes at, then that means that you have to travel a little bit extra just to get that stuff.
Yeah, we do. Because the one Kroger that was over here, it closed down. So we have to drive about like 3, maybe 4 miles just to go to another store.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like on the north side. Like, I live on the north side of Flint. And just about everything over there, there's no grocery store on the side of town. You have to drive off the drive all the way to the east side or out by the west side just to go to a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of liquor stores on the corners here, and there's plenty of gas stations, but no grocery stores.
Oh, oh my. Wow. Well, I like I said, it has far-reaching repercussions, not just in terms of dealing with the water itself, but if you understand what it does to business, if you understand what it does to the entire functioning of a town and the economy of a town, how a town is run, like you said, there are no middle schools. The reduction in elementary schools and high schools has occurred. So things are actually thinning out in Flint.
Very much so.
Wow. This is Shifting Paradigms. I'm Sister Zion. I have my guest with me, Thomas from Flint, Michigan, who contacted me with regard to the Flint Relocation Project. She is seeking relocation in and around the city of Atlanta, Georgia. She and her children. If you have any information with regard to resources for employment, for housing, please contact me at shiftingparadigms@outlook.com. We will be back in just a moment.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And we are back. I'm Sister Zion. This is Shifting Paradigms. We're looking at what's going on with Flint, Michigan lately, as of late. The number here is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549032. Hit pound, hit star, 6 and 1 to ask a question or to make any comments. And you can even ask Sister Thomas here any questions that you may have with regard to her situation, something that I might have forgotten to ask. But Sister Thomas, I just want to, like I said, I want to thank you for coming here, for having the courage to call in and to share your story. What else would you like the listeners to know about your situation and what you see for yourself and your family with regard to this?
I see just a stable home in a different city, different state, just some stability. Clean drinking water, be able to take a bath in some clean water, help with relocation. I just want out. I just want out, really.
Yes, I truly understand, and I don't blame you. I really don't. And we're going to do everything that we can to make sure that that happens.
I really appreciate all your help, Zion.
Man, it's really no problem. It's really no problem at all. And I hope to be able to do more. I pray to be able to do more. And I'm also praying that through this program and through a series of other things that I'm planning on doing, that we're able to connect you with the resources that you need to do just what it is that you said that you want to do. And my other prayer is that, you know, that you are able to, you know, get indemnified to some extent. There are certain things that, you know, financial compensation will never be able to accomplish in terms of the total restoration of health, of health. And yet it helps a great deal, because if there is anything that you face within the next several years, even after relocating, or your children, you all need to be correctly compensated with regard to that. And so I pray that that happens. I pray that that it occurs. And I just really, I'm at this juncture, I'm really just frustrated. I'm frustrated at the fact that the government is really showing its true colors. For those who really have all of this flowery understanding of what this corporation of the United States of America actually is, this should tell you more than anything else what this country is capable of doing. Because people would normally say, oh, that could never happen here. Well, it's happening here. And the government has the ability and the wherewithal to correct it. And they're not really trying to correct it, because I'm going to tell you, like Sister said, if this was anywhere else, if this was a well-off white suburb or city or town, I guarantee you, as sure as I'm black and sitting here, that this would not be the issue. This would not be the case. But this is a move of gentrification to basically, this is actually a form of ethnic cleansing. It is terrorism. We've stated this before. It is a terrorist act of the United States against its own people. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is. And the fact that they're dragging their feet to even correct the situation should show you that this is exactly what it is. Because if they wanted to clean this up last year, it would have been done this year. Like I said, if they didn't do anything else, because like it's going to take some time to correct the issue with the pipe. But if they didn't do anything but bring in the military machines that clean water so that they can clean the water and make it potable, they could have done it. If they didn't do anything but just appoint a commission of people to help people to relocate to various places, even close to Flint, that are within Michigan, they could have done that by now. But they've not done any of these things, because at the end of the day, it doesn't affect Governor Rick Snyder. It doesn't affect the people of his administration. And all of this posturing, I'm going into someone's house and getting, you know, gallons of water and saying that he's going to drink it for 30 days. That's a lot of posturing going on. She knew exactly whose house to freaking go to get water so that he would not poison himself. So that, please don't be thrown off by any of that stuff. It's all a charade. It is a game. It's a game. They're playing with people's lives. But now, as much as, because we know the government is corrupt, we've always known it. This is not anything new. And so that's the other side of it, is that I really don't understand that when this type of corruption is exposed, we're actually startled and surprised. We shouldn't be startled and surprised. This happened. And this is what happens in a capitalist society where money is the god. Money is worship, and money is the be and all. Because the reason why the pipes were switched in the first place was because of money. The reason why Governor Schneider was given this autonomous power to just switch it instead of going through a bureaucratic channel of checks and balances to make sure that if the pipes were switched that nothing like this would occur was because of money. They wanted to save money. Who cares if anybody, someone gets sick? It should be okay. It'll be all right. Mm-hmm. So, once again, we have Sister Promise on the line from Flint, Michigan. She's grown up in Flint all of her life. She has two children. They are being adversely affected by this situation on a daily basis. The stuff that we take for granted, being able to take a bath, being able to take a shower, being able to just go into the kitchen and get water and cook your food in. The stuff that we take for granted, many of us take for granted every day, are things that she and her family have to make an assertive effort to do because you're dealing with bottles of water. You're dealing with bottled water. Bottled water to take a shower. I mean, bottled water to do anything with. And then if you look at the whole scope of what you use water for, you're washing your clothes in this contaminated water. So right. Even your clothes are contaminated. Yes, mm-hmm. Sister Farmer.
Yes.
So your clothes are contaminated because you're having to wash your clothes in this contaminated water.
Mm-hmm.
So this is unfathomable, and yet it is a very real situation, and our people need us. It's really that simple. And I cannot stress this enough. We have to come together collectively as a community to do whatever we can to help our own people. We should not even want the government to come in to deal with and try to rectify the issues of our community. I mean, yeah, we pay taxes, but how many times do you have to tell, does someone have to basically tell you that they don't care about you for you to believe that they don't care about you? Now, however you handle your issue as a taxpayer is up to you, but don't neglect doing what you can for your own people because you expect the government, who has shown time and again that it really does not care what happens, you know, you're just waiting on them to do something. FEMA is not coming to the rescue, and we shouldn't want them to. They have a history of mishandling our people. So we need to step up. The number here is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549-032. Hit pound. Hit *6 and 1 to ask a question or to make a comment. Ask Sister Promise any questions or give us any feedback in general. What do you know with regard to any resources or any help that may be available to Promise and her family? And also, if you are in the Atlanta, Georgia area and you have access to resources with regard to employment, with regard to housing, please contact me at Shifting Paradigm, SHIFTINGPARADIGMS at Outlook.com. That's Shifting Paradigms at Outlook.com. So that we can basically, I can get an understanding as to what it is that you need to offer and that you have to offer as help and assistance. And even if you don't want to have direct contact with her and you just may have, phone numbers and things that I can call on her behalf to get her connected with people who can help her, then please do that. But right now I am asking for her for any help that you can provide in getting her and her family out of Flint, Michigan. And then there are a couple of other families, there are a few families that were actually able to get out on their own, and that's because they were moving to cities like Pontiac that were close to Flint. For people who actually need to leave the state, who have support systems outside of the state of Michigan, it would really be to the best interest of our people that we help them. And that's basically it. I really hope that, you know, this reaches the ears of people who have the compassion that is required to help people, to help our people. And that you don't, like I said, just resign yourself to thinking that this is the government's problem, that this is just the issue with Flint, Michigan, because that's a lot of the other feedback that I had gotten from some people. Well, what do you care about the people in Flint? You're in California. What do you care? But I'm not supposed to care because I'm out here and they're in Michigan. I mean, besides the fact that I have a personal history in Michigan, I have relatives in Michigan, and you know, besides all of that, what is the problem with caring about us and us helping our people, even if they are not local to us, even if they are not local within the same city, within the same county, within the same state as we are? It's not going to take anything away from you to help someone else. The number here is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549-032. Hit pound. Hit star 6 and 1 to comment or to ask a question to myself or Sister Promise from Flint, Michigan. What are some of your skill sets? What was your occupation prior to dealing with this issue, Promise?
I'm a medical assistant. I've done direct care work. I've done warehouse work. I've drove fork trucks, unloaded and loaded fork trucks, moved material. Versatile. I can do just about anything. They got four wheels and a steering wheel. I can drive it besides a stick shift. Yeah, I'm like basically in the medical field. That's where I'm at, is for direct care or for a urgent care, a doctor's office. I can do EKGs, injections, administer medicine. I have access to MyEastons as far as like the computer software to run a doctor's office front and back. There's not too much I can't do that I will not try to do. I'm versatile in my job, so whatever God bless me with, I'll take it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So we have a sister here who's willing to work. She's willing to do what it takes to get herself and her family up and moving. And really all she needs right now is some help. That's it. That's all she needs. And we've all been in that position, but many of our situations have not been at the level of urgency. And my concern, more than anything, is that of the health, the mental health, as well as the physical health of yourself and your family. Because I said that, you know, at some point, what happens in the physical begins to have a profound effect on the soul, and it begins to wear away at you. And that's not what we want to occur. You need to be somewhere where you can thrive and where you can live and do the things that you need to do for yourself and your family. And that's basically what it amounts to right now. Mm-hmm. The number here is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549-032. It's star 6 and 1 to comment or to ask a question. How far away was the situation with Sasha Bell? Or had you heard about the situation with Sasha Bell?
Yes, I heard about it. From where she was at, from where I'm at, it's like probably about maybe 4 miles away. It's some apartments out by Bluebell Beach that she was found in. And I heard that she was one of the first people to file a lawsuit. I just heard little bits and pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard the big overall picture, but I heard it has something to do with the water, why she's deceased. I've just heard like four or five different stories, and it's crazy because you really don't know what to believe. You don't know what to believe if somebody, you know, I know she was shot, but we don't really know the whole story behind that. I pray to her soul, rest in peace, and her baby is fine. It's really no words to really explain, you know, what's really going on. It's just that this is a really hard time for everybody here in Flint, and everybody's dealing with it accordingly, the citizens. I'm not talking about the people that's downtown, because like I mm-hmm. said, they need to donate their paychecks to the pipe or something to do something else. Like they was handing out the can water. The can water still have lead in it. You put the mm-hmm. lead tester in the can water, it still read out that you have lead in your water.
Yeah.
So the can water that they're giving out, that still has lead in, so they're still feeding us lead in some kind of fashion or form or some way.
Wow. Oh my. It's sad, and it just kind of makes me it just hurts. I'm just gonna say it hurts to hear that this is even taking place when it should not be. But we have to deal with what is, and what is that we have people there who want to leave and who need help and assistance in leaving. So whatever we can do to help them leave, we should do our best to make sure that that happens. I wouldn't want that on my conscience, actually. And there's no way that I could ever hear about your situation and the situation of the other families that have contacted me and mm-hmm. even be able to rest if it were not that I knew that I was at least putting forth some effort to help in some respect. But at the same time, it's not enough. So I just want to, like I said, drive home the fact that this is a very urgent matter, because really you and your family should have been out of there well in advance of now.
Mm-hmm.
Really, seriously, before your hair had to start coming out or any of that other stuff, you should have been in a position to leave. But I don't think that people, like I said, even take into consideration the effect that it even has on you financially to deal with it. Because also understand that they're also charging the people of Flint with exorbitant water bills for water that is toxic. So you add that to the equation, as well as any other financial strain that this particular situation might be putting on a family. And you have a situation where they might not be able to financially leave on their own. And even if they are financially able to leave, once they get where they're going, they need to have employment. They need to have a means of being able to have income, decent income to live. They need a place to live. So, we have to do what we can. I actually have just a little bit of information with regard to this, and we're going to go over some final points of this. And I'm getting this from your Newswire. This was also the website that I got the information that I did with regard to the death of Sasha Ivana Bell as the Coria Reed. And it basically says that August and September of 2014, they were given boil water advisory. The people, the citizens of Flint, were given boil water advisories and were issued by the city due to chloroform bacteria detection. Then in August 21st of 2014, tests showed the city's water tested high for THM, which is a chlorine byproduct of disinfecting water, which with it has long-term exposure, so it's carcinogenic if you're exposed to it for long lengths of time. So in August 21st of 2014, the water was testing high for some type of chlorine byproduct to disinfect the water, and it's actually also a carcinogen. The city stated that the water was safe. The employees of the Flint Public Library declared the water undrinkable after noticing that the water from the faucets and toilets was discolored. March 2nd of 2016, it was reported that the state of Michigan blocked Flint from returning to Lake Huron water from the Detroit water system. Then, when it agreed to grant the city an emergency loan of $7 million in April of 2015. So, and that was actually the last word that I had heard, you know, that they would actually be switching the water back. But as of March 2nd of this year, the state of Michigan blocked Flint from even being able to return to Lake Huron, which also supplies water to the Detroit water system. And despite the fact that, you know, they agreed to do it, they just blocked it. So this is what I'm saying, people. The state of Michigan is actually showing us how little they care about the citizens of Michigan, as a period, but especially, particularly, the city of Flint, those residents of the city of Flint. It was discovered that high levels of lead were due to orthophosphate being omitted from the water treatment process while using a pH of 7.4, and that the orange water was due to high concentration of chloride in the Flint River water, which caused excessive corrosion of the cast iron main pipe. Okay. So this is what we're dealing with. I have Promise from Flint, Michigan on the line with me. She's grown up in Flint her entire life. And basically, we want to help her and her family relocate. I want to give relocation for many of the other families that have contacted me. The number here is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549032. Hit pound. Hit star 6 and 1 to ask a question or to make a comment. But if you are willing to help, if you have information with regard to resources, employment, housing, anything that can help this family to relocate, please contact me at shiftingparadigm@outlook.com. And in these last 4 minutes, Promise, whatever it is that you need us to know, please tell us.
I would just like to say that if anybody's out there that can help with my relocation, I would gladly appreciate it. Me and my kids can take safe bath. Don't have to worry about being contaminated. We're already wearing contaminated clothes and using contaminated water. I just want to thank everybody who's listening, who can hear my voice. Thank you for anything that you've able to do in the near future. Appreciate it.
And Promise, I just want to thank you, like I said, once again, just for taking the time out to join me and to give your perspective and share your experience with regard to this matter, because like I said, it's one thing for me to care and to bring this forth, as we have here on Shifting Paradigm, a couple of programs, we've done at least 2 to 3, but it's another thing for the listeners to actually hear it from you, because you have a special insight and perspective that I don't have. And you're able to specifically let people know what's happening, and you've done that. And I really appreciate you for that, for just even having the courage to come and tell us and share that with us. But we're going to do what we can, and, you know, keep in touch. and you have a standing open invitation, you know, just let me know when you need to come on, if you need to come on, and we'll work that out.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time and everything.
Thank you, Thomas, and we'll be in touch. You have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is Shifting Paradigms. I am Sister Zion, and basically we've just been doing an update with regard to Flint, Michigan. We were joined by Thomas of Flint, Michigan, who basically gave us a great deal of insight as to what is actually occurring with regard to businesses closing down, how this is affecting her and her children's health, how it's really just a whole stinking quagmire of garbage going on with regard to how our people are being handled. And I was wondering actually why I hadn't heard anything else about Flint being switched back over to Lake Huron. But apparently the state of Michigan has blocked that. So and just so you understand, the effects of lead by itself is irreversible. So whatever brain damage, whatever physical damage that it may cause, it is basically irreversible. Also understand that there are chlorides and phosphate and all types of other things, arsenic, Legionnaire's disease, a plethora of other toxins that have been discovered in the water in Flint that is making people perpetually sick. And many of these people have not just been devastated physically, but they've been devastated financially as well. So our people need us. I pray that this program has been a blessing to you. Remember that mediocrity hates greatness. Be great, let them hate. Shalom. We'll be back next week.
Live to die, gotta live, life is what is, don't have much, so my all I won't give, I'm stingy, everything I keep for my own, I pack my flesh so tight that my soul hasn't grown, I'm a small child, playing in a man's world, I'm the light behind the storm when the clouds unfurl, watching the twirl, Mother Earth going for broke, she's moving, too fast to help you out of the choke, I dream, wish, and hope, my life's best outcome, truthfully, most of my decisions made have been dumb, I am one must receive. Planted in faith that's watered daily by anger, uncertainty, and hate. Wait, it ain't supposed to.